pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call number tonight and every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that great American Big Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
I'm terrific, Vito. Great to be here as always. How are you?
I am doing well. A little bit tired side, but I'm doing good. Hey, you know what? It's a good day. It's Monday. It is May the 20th. Next week is Memorial Day weekend, so it's a 3-day weekend for a lot of people, huh?
Yep, it's coming. This year is rolling past very quickly.
It certainly is. I mean, gosh, it'll be June 1 next week as well. It's like, holy cannoli. But, yeah, a lot going on in the world today, a lot going on in America, a lot going on just all over, including some divisive speeches. Actually, one divisive speech, which was by the wicked man, Little Joe Biden, the mean one. And then we always like to start off, though, with a little golf news, and the PGA was conducting their second major of the year. It's the PGA Championship at Valhalla Country Club in Kentucky. It started out to be a very interesting tournament with world number one Scottie Scheffler being arrested by Kentucky police on Thursday before the opening round. But thankfully, there was a weather delay, and tragically, there had been a deadly accident earlier in the morning, which contributed to the delay as well. A pedestrian was hit and killed by a shuttle bus at 5 a.m. that morning. And due to what appeared to be a confusion in traffic communication, Scheffler drove his courtesy vehicle in an area he should not have been, but apparently he was saying that he was just following other police officers' instructions. He was trying to get to the course because he had a 10:04 tee time, and chaos ensued. Well, another police officer directing traffic stopped the vehicle, and Scheffler did not know it was a police officer, and the officer tried to reach into the vehicle to shut off or to take the keys out of the ignition. Somehow gets stuck and was dragged, as he says, by about 10 feet. Ooh. And that earned Scheffler a trip to jail. And it was an unfortunate incident, a lot of chaos. But let's hope the Valhalla police drop the charges. I mean, if you're an illegal alien, 5 times deported and involved in vehicular homicide, you're released on your own recognizance and who knows where you are. But back to golfing. But it was a great tournament. Xander Schauffele, American Xander Schauffele, opens the PGA Championship shooting a record 62, 9 under par in a championship to take the lead. Three other people have shot a 62 in major championships. This is the first time in the PGA Championship it was done. Let's see. After all the chaos and turmoil, world number one Scottie Scheffler shoots a 4-under 67, so he's still kind of in the thick of things. Morikawa and Thomas Dietrich each shot 5-under 66. They were tied for second 4 shots back behind Shoffley at 62, 9-under. By the end of the third round, though, Morikawa and Shoffley were tied at the top. Shane Lowry also shot an impressive 9-under 62 for Saturday's round to surge up the leaderboard. Rory McIlroy was never a factor. He just can't get it going. A couple of Saudi LIV employees were lurking at the top, but in the end, Xander Schauffele prevailed, holding it together on Sunday, shooting an impressive 665, but he needed to birdie the very last hole, the 18th hole, to win. And it's exactly what he did, which has been uncharacteristic for this young man. He sank a six and a half footer to beat Bryson DeChambeau by one shot. He beats Victor Hovland, who made a nice comeback on Sunday by three shots, who finished a solo third. And he also turned Sunday's round into his first PGA major victory to go along with his Olympic gold medal. So you're never sure about Xander Schauffele, but he finally closed the door. He finally wins a major. Congratulations to Xander Schauffele.
Yeah, because I tell you, it looked like Bryson DeChambeau was going to take him because he got the birdie on the 18th to tie everything up. And then Xander came in, birdied 18 for the win. And it looked like the fate of the golf gods were going to put the hammer down on Xander Schauffele again. But he prevailed, and it was a great showing by Bryson DeChambeau. It made golf exciting again to watch, or it made it more exciting to watch, and DeChambeau, being a very classy guy that he is, after he lost, he ran up, and then as Schauffele was coming into the house, he congratulated him, gave him a hug, and it was very good sportsmanship. And Scheffler, unfortunately, he got into some more trouble because the PGA said that his ankle bracelet was providing information and yardage that was illegal. So Scheffler not only got thrown in jail, now he's got the PGA Rules Committee up his ass, and that story is still evolving. So we'll have to see how that turns out.
So congratulations to Xander Schauffele for winning his first major, and he did it in fine form. And he, you know, again, a little, there's been more excitement this year with the PGA, and he does it on the final hole with a birdie. So he's not been able to do that when he had a chance to win a major in the past, but for some reason, something's clicking, and I think it's his new coach, Chris Como, that's really given him a lot of confidence. And so congratulations to him, and much well-deserved. On the ladies' side.
It was some great golf.
Yeah, it was some great golf. And it's every week's been great with on the PGA. I've just been enjoying it, and it's just been it's been fun to watch. Once again, it's beautiful to see greatness rise to the top. And with the LPGA – had their Mizuho Classic yesterday, or Mizuho America's Open, as it's called. While the men were in Kentucky, the ladies were in New Jersey once again, and it was the Mizuho America's Open. Australian Hannah Green, who's been playing brilliantly, shot an impressive 9-under-63 in Saturday's third round to surge up the leaderboard. But this lady by the name of Nellie Korda, she's world number one lady golfer, shot an impressive 7-under-65 on Saturday to continue her lead. Instead of it being a four-shot, it turned into a two-shot lead over Hannah Green. And I'm not taking anything away from Hannah Green because I think she's been playing the best golf of her life this year. Hannah Green wasn't going away quietly either because she was paired with Nellie Korda in the final round. And I got to tell you, it's absolutely amazing to watch an individual with a beautiful swing. And Nellie Korda has one of the most picture-perfect swings, and she knows how to use it, especially under pressure. Green shot a 2-under-70 for a total of 13 under par to finish solo second to Nellie Korda, who shot a 1-under-71, and she won by one shot. It was Korda's sixth victory in seven starts this year. And it's just unbelievable what this lady's been able to attain. Last year she suffered through an injury, which many believed it had to do to the jab. She suffered a blood clot in an arm, and it was a pretty scary time for her. It almost ended her career, but she fought back like the true champion that she is, and she's only gotten better. And she avoided doing the Asia swing, and I'm sure it had to do with the travel issue, and she stayed in the United States, and she basically honed her game. And now Nelly Korda wins again. She wins for the sixth time in seven starts this year. Congratulations to Nelly Korda for winning the Mizuho America's Open in New Jersey. Your 14th career victory, sixth of 2024. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Wow.
Yep. And in the ponies, Seize the Gray wins the 149th Preakness Stakes with Kentucky Derby winner Mystic Dan finishing second.
Ooh,
so
congratulations
to that filly.
Oh, man, I forgot about the Preakness. Son of a gun. Oh, I thought it was next week. Damn it. That means that Belmont's in 2 weeks, I believe, right?
Don't know. Not
yeah,
a big
Belmont.
Horse race.
Yeah. Well, it's the longest race, longest horse race. Oh, have to watch it. So there'll be no Triple Crown winner this year.
No, no. If Mystic Dan had won, then there would have, he would have had a race for it, but not this year. You're correct.
Hmm. Hey, I want to welcome Bigfoot, our big patriot, in the chat room. Bigfoot has a blog. It's www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. It's an excellent blog spot. If you do read online news, add bigfootsplace.blogspot.com to your reading agenda, and it's just amazing what he does and what he puts together. It's really a great blog. I love reading it every day. Today on a warm and mostly cloudy Monday, here are some things going on. Pro-Hamas Palestinian activists at Oxford University have made not one but two liberated zones. Front page mag, Kansas City Chiefs kicker Harrison Butker is a cultural warrior. American thinker, Trump is doing well in the polls. Yep, and much to the chagrin of the Biden-Harris-Obama regime. The Euro news, Slovak raise over 4 million euro for weapons for the Ukrainian army. The Jewish news syndicate, Hamas, has reaped $500 million from the humanitarian aid, which was sent to Gaza. Isn't that amazing? You know, you have to ask yourself, and Al, you can kind of confirm this, but you have to ask yourself, how is it that the world has been sold a bill of goods that the Gazans have lived in squalor and the Palestinians this and Hamas, you know, a foreign terrorist organization is that, and yet the three leaders of Hamas are worth $5 billion, $4 billion, and $3 billion respectively from a country that produces nothing but terrorism. In the meantime, the Gazans live in squalor, while the hierarchy of Hamas lives like kings and queens. And now Hamas has reaped $500 million. You see why they don't want a peace agreement? You see why they don't want to stop? Because it's very profitable, as the cowards of Hamas, the hierarchy, live in Qatar and are being harbored by the Qatari government. Isn't that amazing, Al?
No, because they are thieves and crooks stealing food. All the tunnels are for the Hamas fighters, not for the individual Palestinians. In fact, Hamas is happy to use the Palestinians as human shields, because anytime that the Israelis happen to kill civilians that are being used as human shields, it is a political win for Hamas. So Hamas are evil sons of bitches, and Biden is giving them the win.
And just so that the listeners understand, on October 8th, 1997, the United States State Department, the U.S. government, designated Hamas a foreign terrorist organization. On the same day, the United States government also designated Hezbollah as a foreign terrorist organization. So Around the United States, through colleges and universities, the Muslim Brotherhood, of course, has conducted campaigns, misinformation and disinformation campaigns in support of a foreign terrorist organization. And by the way, any member of Congress who supports Hamas is also supporting a foreign terrorist organization, and that's been designated by the United States government on October 8, 1997. One of the stories in Bigfoot'sPlace.blogspot.com is from the Babylon Bee, and this headline is quite funny. The aforementioned and recently departed President Raisi asks where the virgins are and requests that the heat is turned down a bit. So, you know, when Muslims die, they get 72 virgins. Well, obviously, Raisi can't find the virgins, according to the Babylon Bee. I'm sure that they'll be targeted for hate speech by the theocratic terrorist regime of Iran. Following the death of Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi in a helicopter crash over the weekend, the deceased leader questioned the furnishings of paradise and wondered why it was so crazy hot up here. I was expecting more virgins, 72 of them to be exact, Raisi commented. And why is Jana so hot? And who's the scary-looking man with the pointy ears and pitchfork laughing at me? This is supposed to be Garden of Pleasure. Who should I talk to about this? So and you can read the rest of that at bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Nice job, Big. That was a good one, man. You can always depend on the Babylon Bee to come up with a good one. Oh, man. Well, so there was a, before we get to the Iranian news, we forgot to talk about the NASCAR brawl yesterday. NASCAR, that would be auto racing, had their all-star race yesterday. And Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and Kyle Busch got into it. Actually, and it was supposedly it was started by Kyle Busch, who Stenhouse accused of running him out of the race by bumping him and running him into the wall after Stenhouse apparently tried to crash Kyle Busch in a sideswipe as they were riding three wide, you know, around the short track at Charlotte Motor Speedway. I'm sorry, Wilkesboro, North Wilkesboro Speedway. In North Carolina. And afterwards, the cameras were rolling and Stenhouse confronts Kyle Busch. And all of a sudden, Stenhouse just throws a right hand and actually clipped Kyle. And he was a bit, you know, I guess we never see punches connect except for Cale Yarborough, obviously, but back in the 70s. This one kind of connected, and then the crews got into it, and I have never seen Kyle Busch so pissed. This guy, I mean, you want to talk about his fate? He was so, I mean, it took two people to hold him back. He was going after Stenhouse, and it was just amazing. The two had to be separated as crews from both teams started to get after one another. The rivalry started on the first lap of the 200-lap event. Busch and Stenhouse were among those riding three wide on the short track. Busch on the outside scraped the wall while Stenhouse was running in the middle. Busch then retaliated, hitting Stenhouse from behind and sending him into the wall. I'm tired of getting run over by everybody, but that's what everybody does. Everybody runs over everybody to pass everybody, Busch told Fox Sports Race. Stenhouse waited for Busch, and that's when the fight occurred. So it was a little color for NASCAR and a little bit of a rivalry maybe with Ricky Stenhouse Jr. He's probably still pissed about Donica Patrick leaving him too. So, that was just a little bit of a little fight update. At NASCAR, tempers running hot, tempers flaring. So, Al, what did you think about the news out of Iran? The butcher of Tehran is dead. The butcher of Tehran, that would be Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi, and his helicopter met a mountain. And the Bell helicopter from when the Shah was president went down crashing into a mountain in Iran. President Raisi with his foreign minister and various other Iranian officials from the theocratic terrorist regime of Iran were killed. A former diplomat, Iranian diplomat, is putting some of the blame of the Sunday death of the country's president at the feet of the United States. Ooh, this could be really bad. I mean, wow. Okay. According to a report, Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi was traveling with Foreign Minister Hussein Amirullah Al-Hayyan and six other individuals when the helicopter they were traveling crashed into a mountain in the country's northwest near Iran's borders with Azerbaijan. By the way, there was a snowstorm. There were three helicopters flying in a blizzard. State Department spokesman Mike Miller offered condolences on behalf of the U.S. government upon hearing the news. They were so sorry that the butcher of Tehran is dead. I mean, this is just more unconscionable acts by this stupid president. This president of the United States who's bought and paid for by illicit individuals, by illegal individuals, by immoral individuals. I mean, it's unbelievable that the State Department would even issue condolences to the butcher of Tehran, who calls the United States the great Satan. But it didn't take long for one former Iranian official to point the finger at Washington. Citing Iranian state media, Business Insider reported on Monday morning that the country's former foreign minister, Mohammad Javad Zarif, blamed U.S. sanctions that prevent the country from buying new aircraft for forcing Raisi and others to fly in decades-old Bell 212 helicopter. Well, the helicopters were made in the U.S. between 1968 and 1998. It was not clear what year the model Raisi was traveling in when it went down Sunday, but Zarif told his country's media that the U.S. sanctions imposed in 1979 after the Iranian Revolution have kept the country from operating fleets of modern aircraft. The officials told an Iranian TV station that Raisi's death in the outdated chopper would be recorded in the blacklist of American crimes against the Iranian nation. Now, isn't it ironic, Al, that they're going to blame the United States for the death of Raisi, when in fact Iran has reaped billions, hundreds of billions of dollars? We know that the Biden-Harris-Obama regime gave tens of billions of dollars, at least $62 billion plus whatever oil purchases that Dopey Joe and Kamala had approved of. Not only that, the communist China over the last 2 years have been buying at least 1 million barrels of oil a day from Iran, and in doing so, they have revitalized the theocratic terrorist regime of Iran. They have infused money into the treasury of Iran, where President Trump had done just the opposite, leaving Iran reeling. And it's allowed Iran to restart its terror machine with the funding. Now, you would think that with Iran now being part of the BRICS nation, that would be the BRICS nation, which would be Brazil, Russia, India, Communist China, which is the C in BRICS, South Africa, Iran, Egypt, Ethiopia, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates. You would think, though, with the hundreds of billions of dollars that Iran now has reaped, that they would go to their fellow BRICS nation, Brazil, and buy helicopters, buy updated aircraft, because Brazil is one of their primary manufacturers is Helibras. And you would think that dictators would stay together with Lula being a dictator of Brazil, and you've got the theocratic terrorist regime of Iran, led by the Ayatollah Khomeini and, of course, Raisi. they would be purchasing aircraft from Hellebras. So on one hand, with Iran being a state sponsor of terror, if they would stop sponsoring terrorists like, I don't know, like the foreign terrorist group Hamas, like the Houthis, like Iran, like Hezbollah, and like the Iranian National Guard, the sanctions would have been lifted. So, you know, to blame the United States for this is actually deceptive. And, of course, it's the victim attitude of Islam. And it's a victim attitude of Islamic terrorists. Once again, it is everybody else's fault but their own. And so, you know, in my opinion, Raisi got what he deserved. He has many human rights violations. He is the butcher of Tehran, and that label is apropos. And he's nothing but a tyrant. And they keep the Iranian people down. And the Iranian people actually responded to the death of Raisi by cheering and lighting off fireworks. So you can see that he was quite beloved. And, of course, the Babylon Bee reported about Raisi complaining that there was not 72 virgins.
Well, State Department spokesman Matt Miller, he addressed the U.S. participation in the moment of silence. If you can believe that, at the UN, they had a moment of silence for the butcher of Tehran. The U.S. asked if the U.S. participation was appropriate. Matt Miller, spokesperson for our State Department, clarified that, quote, "We have been quite clear that Ibrahim Raisi was a brutal participant in the repression of the Iranian people for nearly four decades. Raisi's involvement in numerous horrific human rights abuses, including playing a key role in the extrajudicial murdering of thousands of political prisoners in 1988. Some of the worst human rights abuses occurred during his tenure as president, especially the human rights abuses against women and the girls of Iran," Miller said, but qualified, quote, "That said, we regret any loss of life. We don't want to see anyone die in a helicopter crash, but that doesn't change the reality of his record both as a judge and as the president of Iran." Yet our spokesperson for the UN gave this murdering, the butcher of Tehran, a minute of silence. The Israeli ambassador was outraged, but he seemed to be the only one.
I mean, listen, just listen to this, and it goes to what Al just said. Just listen to this. President Raisi was said to have harbored a special hatred for women, and he has been held responsible for everything from prison rapes to the tortures of pregnant women. The cleric and former prosecutor had overseen the brutal suppression of human rights protests against the Islamic regime as part of the record of his crimes against humanity going back to the 80s. We're talking about four decades. And some way, shape, or form, this pro-Iranian regime, pro-Iranian administration, the pro-Iranian regime of Biden, Harris, and Obama have to pay tribute to a man who has abused women, who hates women, responsible for prison rapes and the torture of pregnant women. You know, the left wing in the United States and around the world have tried to take credit for women's causes. They've tried to be the champion of women's rights. And this same left wing, faced with a opportunity to validate their belief in women, biological women, and their places in society, and the attainment of success that women have had. And they shoot it right down. I mean, you're talking about the Islamic religion who believes that a woman is one-third that of a man. And for four decades, the Iranian regime has lauded a man who has a hatred of women, responsible for prison rapes, and for torturing pregnant women. Now, this guy was sired from a woman. How evil is that, huh? So somehow he has resentment for being born by a woman, coming out of a woman's body. And for the left wing, especially the Democrat Party in America, for not rebuking this type of belief system, this type of heinous crimes against humanity, his record crimes against humanity. And somehow the State Department, well, you know, anybody killed in a plane crash or a helicopter crash, you know, we have to give a moment. Bullshit. What about the woman in Iran who die in prison as a result of being raped? And they're accused, the women, are tortured. As Jabari had been done, huh? This lady was raped by an Iranian official when she reported it to the police. She went on trial. She, Jabari, went on trial. And Jabari was sentenced to death by hanging. And the Iranian regime delayed the hanging as they walked her out to the noose to hang. And they delayed it. And they messed with their mind to the point where they did it 6 times, 7 times, 8 times. And finally she said she had enough. And she told her mother not to appeal it because she was tortured by doing this. And what was her crime? For reporting a sexual assault by an Iranian official. That was her crime. 31 years old. And what happened? Jabari was hung. She was hung by her neck until she died. She went to prison in 2007, and she was executed October of 2014 for 7 years. And her rapist, the Iranian official, he got away. You don't believe me? Read the account of Rehana Jabari. And there's a gentleman that has a show, The Cross and the Crescent, I believe it's called, on Blog Talk Radio, who actually brought this story to light. It's just amazing, the account. You just felt so bad for her, and following the account for 7 years. And then when it all came to fruition, she said she had enough. She had enough. And her mother sadly reported that, she was 26. She reported that her daughter had finally been hung after 7 years being in one of the harshest jails in Iran. And it's just, it's really, really and truly sad. And this is who the United States State Department is having a moment of silence for, because he died in a plane crash. I guess next year, or actually later this year, there should be a moment of silence for Soleimani, because he was killed near an airport, so near planes, and he was crashed into by a missile. So there should be a moment of silence for that butcher. The Biden-Harris-Obama regime are one anti-American regime. They are pro-Islam. They are pro-Iran. They have done some things that are truly, truly unconstitutional. They have done things that are un-American, and they have done things that our allies are cringing, including Israel. And if you don't think that President Raisi was directly involved in funding Hamas and attacking Israel on October 7th, 2023, then you're smoking something that isn't legal. Because the Butcher of Tehran didn't get that name by being a Boy Scout. He got that name because of his brutality that he inflicts. And thanks to the United States of America, led by Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, John Kerry, and certainly Joe Biden, they helped fund this theocratic terrorist regime of Iran. And no one should shed a tear for that rotten butcher, Ebrahim Raisi. May he rot in hell. And I hope it's extremely hot where he's at. And the virgins are 50-year-old men. God, just unbelievable what the U.S. State Department will do. It's just truly unbelievable. Two organizations that are declared a terrorist organization, Hezbollah and Hamas, both are funded by Iran. And thanks to the Biden-Harris-Obama regime, they have helped fuel the Iranian treasury to help fund terrorism not only in Hezbollah in Lebanon, but Hamas in Gaza, the tri-border region in South America, Paraguay, Argentina, and Brazil, and Islamic terrorists who are being trained at Islamic terror training camps in the tri-border region, who have made their way up through America's southern border, thanks to the open border policy of Biden, Harris, and Obama. And we're lauding terrorists? This is what the Biden, Harris, Obama policy is to laud terrorists, to have a moment of silence for a terrorist who has a human rights violation record dating back to the 1980s, four decades. All this confusion and chaos that has occurred since January 20, 2021 is a planned chaos, because it's one chaos after another with the Biden-Harris-Obama regime. And it's to keep people totally off guard so that 3.5 years later, they can put Biden out on a limited stump and then proclaim that this economy is doing great, that household incomes are up and the stock market is up, just like the extreme Hakeem Jeffries put out in a tweet today. The stock market is up. Unemployment's down. The economy is doing great. Really? Where? Where? Where is the economy doing great? Huh? How about retirement plans being down by at least 40%? How about gas prices up now, sustained levels, 80% over what they were on January 19th, 2021, due to the radical and extreme policies of the Biden-Harris-Obama regime, due to the phony climate hoax scam that's being implemented by the Biden-Harris-Obama regime? And we don't have to talk about foreign policy, because everybody knows the disaster that has occurred with foreign policy with the Biden-Harris-Obama regime. And it was right out of the box in Afghanistan in August of 2021. Everything Joe Biden has done has turned to shit. But make no mistakes about it, it's not just Biden who's behind this, because Biden is not smart enough to do it on his own. And that's why he surrounds himself with the Obama alumni regime, the people who implemented these radical anti-American and their globalist policies from 2009 to 2017 are the same individuals who are now running the show for Dopey Joe. And you notice they're putting Joe Biden in a limited capacity. Now, the little hateful man was in Georgia over the weekend, and he gave yet another bitter and angry speech, something that a wicked man would do. The wicked man, Proverbs 6, verses 12 through 19. Listen to this, and then if you have the stomach to listen to bitter Joe Biden, listen to bitter Biden's speech, okay, while he was pandering at Morehead College in Georgia. Just an angry little man. The wicked man, a worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes. He shuffles his feet. We all know Joe shuffles his feet. He points with his fingers. Does that. Perversity is in his heart. We don't even have to go there. You all know how much of a pervert Joe Biden truly is. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. And he certainly does with every type of hate speech that he gives. 15. Therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly, he shall be broken without remedy. 16. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. 17. A proud look, a lying tongue. There's one thing that's for certain. Joe Biden is a habitual liar. He's a chronic liar. 17. Hands that shed innocent blood, and he did that in Afghanistan. 13 dead American soldiers. 18. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. Just listen to his speech yesterday over the weekend at Morehead College. His bitter speech, his bitter, divisive speech. 19, a false witness who speaks lies and one who sows discord among brethren. And it certainly describes Joe Biden, the wicked man. There's nothing positive about the man. It never has been. Joe Biden's been a crook. He's been a liar. He's been a cheat his entire political life. We knew that in 1988 when he ran for president and had to abruptly resign because he stole a speech, plagiarized. No one in his party ever took him serious. But why now? Why? I believe because of his mental capacity had diminished, and he was easily controllable by Barack Hussein, Satoru, Obama. And it's clear he's been easily controllable. Put Joe in the basement, let them worry about his campaign. And then act like a man. And act like a man he does. And we all know that Joe Biden has diarrhea of the mouth. We all know because it also spawned a phone call to find out about a quid pro quo that Joe Biden admitted to in public at a forum in April of 2019 when he stated that he and Barack withheld a $1 billion loan guarantee to the Ukraine. And Poroshenko had to fire a special prosecutor that was looking into Burisma, which Burisma is where Hunter Biden held a seat on the board, which Chris Hines, who is John Kerry's stepson, held a seat on the board. And what did Nancy Pelosi do immediately? She sought to impeach Trump for going after a political opponent, which was absolute horseshit, because Joe Biden was a retired VP at that point. He was not a declared candidate for president of the United States. But see, this is how the Washington, D.C. syndicate covers up for their own. And it's been all about getting Trump, as it is right now, as it is today. But Joe Biden is a liar. He's a chronic liar. He's an habitual liar. His foreign policy is abysmal. And once again, his foreign policy was on display just today when the State Department took part in a moment of silence and sent their condolences to the Ayatollah Khomeini in Iran for the butcher of Tehran, who has human rights abuses dating back to the 1980s. How in the world can anybody in good conscience pay homage to a brutal dictator, to a man who abuses women, to a man who tortures women, to a man who has women raped and tortures pregnant women? How? And you, the Democrat Party, profess to champion women's rights? And you allow the abuse of women, especially in Islam? You have an opportunity right now to speak out against these abuses, against tyrannical dictators who also partook in a genocide against Israel, a modern-day genocide against Israel on October 7th, 2023, sponsoring Islamic terrorism, sponsoring a terrorist organization, Hamas, to attack and kill 1,200 Israelis, 1,200 Jews in Israel? And you support that? This is one rogue government that we are seeing in the United States. And you wonder why society has deteriorated with this type of mentality that's coming out of the executive branch of government who does not obey the rule of law. Total and utter contempt for we the people. We the people. I mean, this is incredible what we're witnessing today. But it's not just Joe Biden. It's Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama. Here, I got this story from Bigfoot's place just 2 weeks ago. Al, I'm sorry, Al. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that Iran, as you said, is a friend of Biden. Biden's given him millions of dollars, cash on the barrel flown to him and their regime, and they are butchers, but they are. Biden is on their payroll. Biden is corrupted. Obama is corrupted by the Iranians. Don't forget that President Trump was the man who had Soleimani removed from the face of this earth. And boy, was he condemned. And now we're giving moments of silence for the butcher of Tehran. And it all started with Democrat Jimmy Carter, who sided against the Shah of Iran and brought the mullahs into office. So thank you, Jimmy Carter, for all of our problems that we are now dealing with now from Tehran. So adios, Reisi, and may your 72 Virginians be not what you expected.
Hey, you know, you brought up a good point, Al, because, you know, it's the strength that the Iran actually responds to. And when they saw that the American people had voted in President Reagan, they realized that the ineffective and weak Carter-Mondale regime was no longer going to be played. So what happened? They immediately called for the release of the 55 hostages that were taken by Ahmadinejad and the Revolutionary Guard. So yeah, isn't it amazing how with President Trump, the same thing. The Iranians were in fear of Trump, and they should be, because it was strength. But here's a story I was referring to back on. Let's see. It doesn't give the date, but it was 2 weeks ago. Obama's behind the scenes maneuvering Biden's White House. In a revelation that has sent shockwaves through the political landscape, the New York Times, often criticized by conservatives for its liberal bias, inadvertently confirmed what many on the right have long suspected. Former President Barack Hussein Satoru Obama is not just a shadowy figure in the current administration, but is actively directing its course. Now, if you don't think that Barack Hussein Satoru Obama is not involved, then you're in total denial, and that's not the river. You know, back in 2020, the strategy was to keep Dopey Joe under wraps, and it was, and it worked. And have him say as little as possible. Why? Because they know that Joe has diarrhea of the mouth and he tries to be a big man on campus at times. And the same is happening now. But it's happening now because his mental acuity is in deeper decline. And we see it on a daily basis. You know, he just stops. He loses his track. He loses his mind. He goes off and says something that is totally untrue. But he's always been a liar. But his mental awareness and mental abilities have declined, and that is just yet another stage of dementia, and it's pretty sad, and it's pretty scary, by the way. But you see, when you can control a malleable moron like Joe Biden, it makes it easier for those behind the scenes, okay, to affect their policies. Or in this case, with Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, it's infecting his policies, okay? His policies are infecting America. His policies are infecting the American family. Policies have infected American families' daily life. He's infected retirement accounts, savings accounts, checking accounts. He's infected wages. And now, on the foreign policy side, he's infected America's standings on a foreign policy. But that's been the case. That has been the plan of action all along. Because under the globalist mentality is they don't want America being that superpower. Just be another third world shithole like maybe the UK or Spain or Italy. Maybe even Finland, you know, where Vikings are. And I say that because I see that we've got the Viking. He's got his hand up, and I want to say hello to our friend Holger. How you doing, Holger? Welcome.
Hey, Holger, say, welcome.
Did somebody say Finland?
I did.
Yeah. You know, As a child, my godfather was 100% Finnish, and his wife was 100% Finnish.
Whoa!
So, that doesn't happen very often, you know, in this country.
So yep. They were Finnish.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, they wouldn't say that. He always called himself a Finlander.
Gotcha.
Finlander people are, you don't want to mess with them, okay? You just don't. Anyway.
What's on your
mind?
I
wanted to, I just had a couple of quick things, you know, on the Iranian president going down in a ball of flames. That's just a shame. Isn't it just a doggone shame, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I don't know if you saw any of the video or the photos of that area where it went down and stuff, but you know it was up in the kind of up in the mountains and stuff, and it was blamed on the weather, very 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 foggy and all that kind of good stuff. So anyway, Gateway Pundit had a, you know, an early story up on the crash, and it was, in fact, the story was up before they even had confirmed that they were dead yet and stuff. But anyway, I went on the Gateway Pundit, and I left a comment there. and all my comment said was, Mossad agent number one, quote, "So, how did the new fog machine work?" Mossad agent two, "Like a charm." Oh God.
Well,
anyway.
Hey, Al saw a tweet that Hamas was retweeting. What was the tweet, Al? That Hamas
was
retweeting.
Well, the big joke, the big joke of the death of the butcher of Tehran is that someone had put out a tweet or an excerpt stating that Mossad agent Eli Copter was flying the ill-fated helicopter and crashed into the mountain taking out Raisi. This story was picked up by four other news outlets and went around the world, finishing up with Hamas putting it out that the Mossad was responsible for Raisi's death by Mr. Eli Copter. Now, I spoke with Mrs. Copter this afternoon, and she assured me that Eli Copter had spent his day having lunch with Mr. Learjet. So everything is a fake story. but hilarious that this Eli copter was believed around the world because Israel was attached to it, and the Mossad and all the Jew haters had, they just took it hook, line, and sinker.
Oh, God. It's hilarious. So the other reason I called in was just to give, you know, kind of a tip to your listeners. I won't get into everything, but as you know, I live in Minnesota. And for many, many months now, I have been, you know, doing a little bit of alerting people on Twitter about the fact that the Marxists in this country have had finally, you know, basically had conjured up their lab experiment for a fully Marxist government in this country, and it being in the state of Minnesota, because back in the when the 2022 elections were held in the state of Minnesota, the Democrat governor, Waltz, was reelected. Keith Ellison was reelected as attorney general. The Democrat was elected as Secretary of State. The state auditor was elected. That was a Democrat as well. The House, the Minnesota House, turned Democrat, and the Minnesota Senate, for the first time in like 15 years, turned Democrat. So conservatives in Minnesota call it the trifecta, okay, because they've got the governor, they've got the House, and they've got the Senate. In Democrat hands, in Marxist hands. And what it ended up was the Minnesota House is 70-64 in favor of Democrats, and the Senate is 34-33, okay? And I'm just alerting people that if you ever want to just this stuff is all over the place on the Internet now because it's just – every day, the most obscene, the most far-left bullshit you've ever seen in your life is being passed into law in Minnesota. It is absolutely mind-boggling. These are like people with addictions who just came home to a mountain of fentanyl, you know, sitting in the living room. I mean, they are absolutely out of control. Give you an idea. The legislative session was ending here just a couple days ago. And it's an absolute chaos because these Democrats went to pass all of these bills before the deadline, okay? And so if I can just read this, on May 17th, basically was their last chance, May 17th, they passed the Omnibus Human Services Policy Bill. They folded that into another one called the Omnibus Labor and Industry Policy Bill. Then they folded that into another one called the Omnibus Education Policy Bill.
Jesus.
So, in essence, they've got YouTubes out there showing the Republicans in the Minnesota House absolutely having meltdowns. They're like, you can't do this. We haven't read half of this shit. You can't ram this through by midnight. And these Marxists just said, sit down, shut up, you're in the minority, take a seat. And they rammed it all through. And I'm just telling you right now, if you want to know what it's going to be like in this country, if Donald Trump doesn't win, if the House goes back to the Democrats and the Marxists, Senate stays with the Marxists, and Sleepy Joe or Cuckoo Kamala or whoever stays in the White House, if you want to know what's going to happen, just start digging into Minnesota. And it's absolutely, I have never in my life, and I've been here most of my adult life, I have never heard so many people getting ready to leave this state. Absolutely getting the hell out of this state.
So what changed there from a conservative type of a northern or Midwest state? What changed?
Well, the Minnesota is just like a lot of states. It's like Illinois. It's like Ohio. It's like Georgia, in the fact that there are 87 counties. Okay, 87 counties in Minnesota.
Okay.
In the 2022 election, the governor won six counties.
Six.
Six out of 87. Six. Because the population, as RZ would call it, is the seven county metro Marxist center. So you got seven counties in the Twin Cities that dominate the population of the state. And, of course, in there you've got, you know, 200,000, you know, University of Minnesota students. You've got Somali population. You've got a liberal white population, the ones that, you know, Ilhan Omar, every one of these problem Congress people and stuff is from the metro area and so forth. So that's the problem is the state is conservative as hell, except for this, you know, 25 square mile section. So it's like Georgia, you know, if you were to remove Atlanta, you know, Georgia would be pretty conservative.
Well, same with Illinois, for that matter.
Same with Illinois. So the other point, and I think this is an important point to understand, is that in Minnesota, you've got 1.4% of the population is Somali. Okay? In the Minnesota legislature now, Somalis represent 3% of the legislature. I'm predicting that after the next two elections in this state, that will go from 3% to 15%.
Whoa.
They are on a mission, okay? I'm going to give you one more little thing here.
By the way, if it gets over 10%, they're in trouble.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's not the population that's going to be 15%.
No.
It's the number that are going to be in the legislature, because that, you know, what's her face? Ilhan Omar has paved the way, and she's become this lightning rod for all of these, you know, the Somalis to run for political office. Okay, and they put up a chart. I'm trying to pull it up right now. They put up a chart on the number of legislative bills that were put through the legislature in 2023 and 2024. And let me just pull it up here real quick. Okay, so this is through May 18th of 2024. So it includes 2023 and 2024 through the 18th of May. Okay, so the total number of bills This is just in the Senate. Okay, doesn't include the House. This is the Senate in Minnesota, which of course is 67 people. There was 1,956 bills authored by Republicans in the Senate in that year and a half, basically. DFL, which is the Minnesota's version of Democrats, Democratic Farmer Labor Party, the Democrats did 3,578. In the top 15 by each senator individually, so some clown by the name of Hoffman did 228 bills just by himself. Okay, I don't know where that clown is from. But in the top 15 of the Democrats, so the top 15 are all Democrats in the number of bills, four of them are Somalis. Okay, there's only six in the whole legislature. Four of them are in the Senate, and all four are in the top 15 for number of bills authored.
Enough said.
So the agenda is clear, and it's scary as hell because they are changing this state not only towards Marxism but towards Islam, and they're doing it fair and square. They're doing it the way we talk about it. You get elected. It's we live in a democracy. But I'm telling you, it is absolutely, I cannot emphasize it enough in the fact that it will be amazing for me to see what actually happens. People in this state are absolutely, they talk about Minnesota nice, because, somebody can like rob your, someone that lives in Minnesota, they can rob your house, and the people that own the house will like help them put it in their car, because everybody's just, it's part of the Scandinavian, nice guy bullshit and stuff. But we have a point where when you cross the line, nothing gets more stubborn and ornery than a Viking, okay? And the people here, they just passed a law that, like next year you can't mow your yard unless you have an electric lawnmower. I mean, this is Minnesota. It's not California. It's not, crazy, freaky, lunatic Greta Thunberg kind of shit. This is Minnesota, it's just something I think your listeners should look at. One last thing. There was it's pretty famous. I don't know if you know about it or not, but it was the fraud trial that's coming up because the U.S. government, in all their infinite wisdom, gave Minnesota $250 million of COVID pandemic money to provide meals to children in Minnesota, okay? $250 million. All right. It's not, it's not chump change. Quite frankly, I didn't know that we had, $250 million worth of starving children in this state. It's like the highest, standard of living in the whole frickin' country, But anyway, when it was all done and said, so what happens is the state gives the money to the state of Minnesota, okay? The state of Minnesota turns this all over to the legislature, who appropriates it to who else but, the state education people to dole out this money and so forth, okay? So they find out that two of the organizations that were in charge, given the the charge of distributing the food to the children, the poor little children with the big swollen bellies, you know, those people actually pilfered all the money. Okay. So it's a pretty big deal, but of course with the whole government here in the hands of the Marxists, it's absolutely gets no play. The media won't touch it and all that kind of good stuff. But I want to just read this to you because the defendants, I'll read from the article, the defendants going on trial Monday before U.S. District Judge Nancy Brazil in Minneapolis are the following: Abdiziz Shafi Farah, Mohammed Jamal Ismail, Abba Majidi Mohammed Noor, Saeed Shafi Farah, Abdi Wahab Malim Aftin, Mukhtar Mohammed Sharif, and Hayat Mohammed Noor.
These are the people going on trial.
Those are the people going on trial that have been accused of $250 million of theft, basically. So what
Gee.
They did is they doctored fake receipts for food and meals handed out to children. So they didn't give any children any food, but they turned in $250 million of receipts, and the state said, oh, here you go. Check's on the way. And I, you know, I'm, you know, not to be biased, but those names I wrote, you know, read off for those that are unfamiliar, those are not Norwegian names.
Well, you know, you make it, that point now should be brought up, and it should be brought up so that people can now kind of put a name with a face. Because the Muslim Brotherhood wrote what was called the Explanatory Memorandum in 1987. And the Explanatory Memorandum stated that the Brotherhood, the Ikhwan, must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within. Now, what you're citing about this, which the fraudulence that occurred to the tune of $250 million, but also, you've got four Somali Muslims, devout fundamentalists, who are in the Minnesota Senate, and you have, what, one or two that are in the Minnesota House. This
Yep.
falls in the category of eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within. You already have incestuous Ilhan Omar. You have Rashida Mother Effort Tlaib in Michigan. And you have... what's his name? Andres from Indiana. So, and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers so that it's eliminated and God's religion is made victorious over all other religions. So they're sabotaging the house and they're doing it from within. You know, this has been the mission statement of the Muslim Brotherhood. It's taken 40 years for it to happen, 35 years for it to happen, but it's happening. It's happening now. We see an actual incident occurring where this is being implemented in Minnesota. It's been implemented already in Hamtramck, Michigan. It's being implemented in Dearbornistan, Michigan. And you know, this is something that's becoming a regular occurrence. It's already occurring in the United Kingdom. They have lost England. England is lost to Islam. And look what's happening in the small state of Minnesota, the less populated state of Minnesota, and it's very easy to do, right? And they've done it. They've shown $250 million has been defrauded from taxpayers under the name of children.
Yep. And what's the connection between these seven people? What's the connection between these seven people? And Ilhan Omar, who's dared look at that from a journalistic standpoint? Okay, and I'll just finish with this last point here. In the last two elections in Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minneapolis has 11 city council members, okay? After the last election, four of the 11 are Somalis.
Bingo.
Okay, now, remember I told you that the Muslim population in the state is 1.4%? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What percent is 4 out of 11? That's like just shy of 40%, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So 4 out of the 11. Okay. So then in St. Paul, they had their city elections. They elected a new city council. And it made national headlines because every single one of the city council members in St. Paul now is a woman. It's all female, completely female. And two of the six members of the St. Paul City Council are Somali.
Wow. Sounds like Hamtramck.
And
it does.
Just, and I'm telling you, in Minneapolis, you got 11 people on that city council. Three of the 11 are white. 68% of the people in Minneapolis are white. And they got 20% representation on the city council.
Yep.
So keep your eyes peeled. You know, just type in the Google search Minnesota legislative initiatives, whatever. Just do it and start reading, and you will absolutely will not believe it. They have got a bill that passed the House that will require every person in the state of Minnesota, when you have firearms in your house, you have to have them under lock and key in a safe storage. They call it the Safe Storage Act. Okay? So, you know, when you're in bed with the missus or you're in bed with your hubby and, you know, three guys break into your house, your gun's got to be in a safe storage cabinet down in the basement. Okay? So, you know, hopefully you got like a little kid that can like crawl down there with a key, you know, get past the bad guys. Okay. So that passed the House. There's two Democrats from way up in northern Minnesota who are, you know, basically if they vote for it, they're probably going to be probably going to end up hanging from an oak tree, pine tree up there in the northern woods, all that kind of stuff. So it's probably not going to pass the Senate. But every single bill that you can think of that is the farthest out, okay? I mean, we now have abortion in Minnesota is completely protected up until time of birth. So if you're a woman and you've got a baby inside you that's 9 months old and the head of that is just crowning just below the birth canal, it can be aborted.
Okay, so now you just actually disputed the fact that abortion has been outlawed in the United States by the Supreme Court. So that's actually a left-wing lie.
Yep.
I mean, that's been the narrative. You know, don't vote Republican because they outlawed abortion in America. No, they did not. They went to states' rights. And unfortunately,
yep,
in the state of Minnesota, they've done the most extreme thing. I'm surprised they haven't really allowed the baby to be born, then aborted it and just called it abortion.
Yep. So you think of places, you know, you think of places to live where, you know, I mean, I've lived in the state for many, 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 many years, and it's always been dominated by the left, okay? But what happened was in 2016, Donald Trump came within a whisker of beating Hillary Clinton in this state. That is how things had changed in this state. And I'm telling you, the shock waves went across this state, and they got mobilized. And I'm telling you, and so that's what, 8 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
In 8 years, they have taken complete control of this state. Tim Walz, as governor, had the most stringent COVID mandates of any governor in the entire country. Okay? So in 8 years, they went from almost losing the state to Donald Trump to absolute lockdown, gulag. So it just goes to show you that it can happen anywhere. And, you know, I mean, it's like being a conservative in this state right now, it's like we're looking for catacombs to meet in. You know, the Christians meeting in the catacombs in Rome. I mean, it's, you absolutely have to, it's unbearable. It's absolutely unbearable. And like I said, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next election, okay, which is coming up here in November. It'll be interesting to see if they went too far.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Sorry for the long ramble, but I think it's important to bring up that there's a heavy price to pay.
Well, it ties in, Holger. All of this ties in because, you know, 15 years ago we were talking about the Hamtramck City Council in Hamtramck, Michigan, that was three of the seven were Islamic. And today the entire city council is Islamic. Prayer, there's a call to prayer five times a day. And this was a Polish, predominantly Polish city, city in Michigan, you know, going back to the 20s. And probably even at the turn of the century, back in the 20th century. And today, it's fully Islamic. And somehow, you know, an Islamic baker who rejects a gay couple's request to bake a cake is fine. But if you're a Christian and you have a certain value system, that's not acceptable. Well, look what's happening in Minnesota, particularly Minneapolis, and now St. Paul. And like you said, in the last 8 years, the left wing has mobilized in order to secure their state to be a total Marxist union. And they're doing so at such a rapid pace. And we wonder why things are in chaos in the United States since January 2021 at such a rapid pace. The rapid pace of now accepting cross-dressing males as being a norm. That perversity now is supposed to be a norm. And look at there's no you know, there's no consequences for Ilhan Omar with her anti-Semitic comments, and yet Nancy Pelosi wants to talk about, you know, about the rule of law, and in the meantime she allows, you know, the incestuous Ilhan Omar to get away with basically being a crook. And that's exactly what Ilhan Omar is. She defrauded the federal government by marrying her brother in order to defraud the immigration service in the United States. And then they changed the House rules about headdresses. And yet, isn't it funny how the devout fundamental Islamist from Dearbornistan or from Detroit, Michigan, Rashida Mother Effort Tlaib, she doesn't wear a hijab, so it's not compulsory.
Yep, exactly. Well, I'm just going to throw this out too, because you've brought it up several times. You know, you got to keep in mind, you know, when I'm talking about what's going on here, you know, Hamtramck is a little bit less than 30,000 people. Minneapolis, St. Paul, and the suburbs around it approach a million people. Okay, that's night and day.
But you know what? It's the same principle. And the idea then is to go to these remote areas and like they did, and they found a left-leaning state. And what is the attraction for Somali Muslims to migrate to Minneapolis? The dead of who the fuck wants to go there in the wintertime? No offense, but you've gone from you know, a desert of 120 degrees, and you're telling me now that you're going to migrate to a location that it doesn't get, you know, 80 degrees until July for one day? Come on.
Yeah.
But the quest
Absolutely.
Is, what is the quest? The quest is to come to get in America and start this overtaking of communities and
yep.
now making it a cultural norm. And it's not.
Absolutely. And you just nailed it when you talked about the left-leaning areas, okay? So they knew, I mean, like I said, 1.4% of the population is Muslim here. I mean, it's the Muslim population in Minnesota is a hell of a lot less than it is in probably Maryland
mm-hmm.
or other states, but it's a left-leaning, white guilt state. And so it's the double whammy is not only are they Somali Muslim, but they are black as well. And so that's where they've leveraged the society. And that's how you get all of a sudden you get 40% of a city council is Somali Muslim. You know, how can that happen? Well, it's because of identity politics, because of the leverage they use to say that, okay, here's your chance to vote. And you know, just like you voted for Barack Obama, and remember how good you felt because you elected our first black president, okay? Well, here's your chance to right the ship, you know? And it's crazy. I mean, it's crazy when you see the actual policies of a major metropolitan city change like this almost overnight. Almost overnight.
Mm-hmm. And you know what?
All right, guys.
This reminds me of a song.
Feelings. Nothing
more than
feelings.
God. All right. See you guys. Thanks for letting me chime in.
All right, thanks.
So long,
have a good one.
Have a good week.
Be safe out there.
All right, see you guys.
Sorry.
You know, and Al, isn't that so true? The Democrat Party bases their entire movement on feelings. Base it on the feelings aspect, but they're also political whores, the Democrat Party. They have aligned themselves with the Islamic community because of the almighty dollar. The Democrat Party, has sold their soul in order to finance their Marxist belief system. And the Islamic community is not stupid. Because if we remember correctly, at the 55th annual, the Islamic Society of North America, ISNA, at their convention, it was... Linda Sarsour, who stated she instructed her Muslim brothers and sisters not to assimilate in America. And she received applause from 1,100 people who were in attendance. Now, when you're in a country, as a matter of fact, Linda Sarsour was born in the United States, which makes her an American. And the loyalty to America is second, third, fourth, or fifth. Her allegiance is to Islam. And the Democrat Party, though, embraces the Islamic world. Why? Because the Islamic world also has a disdain for our constitutional republic. They have a disdain for man-made laws. And the Democrat Party also has that belief system of destroying our constitutional republic from within, as they've done so. And one of the thought processes I had, one of the thoughts that came to mind when Holger was talking was, you know, Nancy Pelosi to this day, okay, that bitter old bat, when you start talking about President Trump, she goes on a tirade. She starts, the Antichrist comes out in her, and she starts spewing venom. And part of that venom is to talk about he banned all Muslims from coming in the United States, and that wasn't true. And, you know, we talk about the theocratic terrorist regime of Iran. Iran was one of those countries that was on the seven-country travel ban. Iran was one. Why? Because the United States was not able to vet one Iranian national coming into the United States of America. Not one. And at that point, you know, we had our borders were closed and they were secured under the Trump administration. Unlike they are with the Biden-Harris-Obama regime, borders are Harris has done absolutely nothing. But the travel ban was for a reason. You couldn't vet one Iranian national. So it was very possible that Raisi or Ahmadinejad were sending, and the Ayatollah were sending their Revolutionary Guard to infiltrate the United States of America, and at some point was to commit jihad. Jihad means to war against non-Muslims, and that's exactly what the theocratic terrorist regime of Iran was set to do and continues to. That is their mission. But the lie was that the United States under Trump was to ban all Muslims, and that was not true. It was to ban Muslims coming from countries that America was unable to vet, including Libya, Syria, Iran, Yemen, because of the war. They had no stable form of government. So there was five countries right there, Islamic countries, only five Islamic countries. If you were a Saudi Arabian, if you were an Egyptian, a Qatari, if you were from Jordan, if you were from Qatar, you were able to come into the United States freely. All right. You had to go through the migration process or the immigration process. You have to have a visa or MasterCard if you're from, you know, California. But if you had a visa or passport from those countries, you were allowed in. So the subversion of language by the Antichrist, Nancy Pelosi, was to misinform the American people. There was not a Muslim ban in America. There were five Islamic countries on that travel ban list because the United States was unable to vet any migrants, any of the nationals coming from those five countries. The other two countries were quite simple: Venezuela and North Korea. Now, you're not going to get any North Korea nationals. Kim Jong-un kept a tight rein on those people traveling from North Korea. And they weren't going to vet. They weren't going to release any of their North Korean nationals, and it would be impossible to vet those, as well as Venezuela being now under communist dictatorship. So it's a flat-out lie by Nancy Pelosi. And yet Somalia was not on that list. And Somalia Muslims can come into the United States, in which they've migrated to Minneapolis. So once again, Nancy Pelosi and the Democrat Party are liars. The United States of America did not ban all Muslims coming into the United States. And they are not going to do so when President Trump is reelected. But there will be a travel ban from Iran should the Ayatollah Khomeini continue to be the lead tyrant in Iran. There will be a travel ban from Syria. Why? Because you cannot vet one Syrian national coming from Syria. I mean, my goodness, this is, you know, it's not rocket science, but the Democrat Party is deceptive. They are a bunch of scumbags who want total and utter control of the United States of America. They have tremendous disdain for our constitutional republic, and they've aligned with another entity that has utter contempt for man-made law, and that is Islam. And Islam is funding the Democrat Party. And look, you know, I mean, just look to the Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE. Where do they align themselves? They align themselves with Democrat Party organizations, including the Southern Poverty Law Center, including the Democrat National Committee. And they do this for a reason. It's a reason why Ilhan Omar is a Democrat. Jeez.
Well, now the liberals have gotten upset again, but this time at Harrison Butker, the kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs. And he is the winner award for this week. I know you've got a few choice comments about this.
I do. I'll tell you, I loved that speech. I was absolutely shocked to listen to that speech, and shocked in a good way. I have never, ever heard somebody in our time in 2024 make those kinds of comments. Maybe, you know, maybe a Ben Shapiro, who you'd expect from, but someone with the woke NFL actually was invited as a commencement speaker to address the graduating class at Benedictine College in Atchison, Kansas. And the Benedictine College is a private college, and it's one of a number of U.S. Benedictine colleges sponsored by St. Benedict's Abbey and Mount St. Scholastic Monastery. Hey, it's a Catholic college, a religious college, a Christian college. Can you believe that? A Christian college that has values. You have an individual giving a commencement speech with values. Now,
Go
ahead.
In a nutshell, he denounced abortion rights, Pride Month, COVID-19 lockdowns, and the tyranny of diversity, equity, and inclusion, as you said, at this Catholic liberal arts college in Kansas. He also told women in the audience to embrace the vocation of homemaker, and this sent the liberals into a tailspin, almost as bad as the Raisi helicopter ride.
You know, the national propaganda media that's run by the DNC, all the alphabet DNC news outlets like CNN, NBC, ABC, National Propaganda Radio, NPR, AP, you know, they all went nuts, including the New York Times. And many of the stories started out, you know, Harrison Butker blasted. Butker graduation speech has received widespread backlash. The biggest mistake he made in his speech, the most comical headline to me was time and place. Students speak out at Harrison Butker's uncomfortable speech. And yet the uncomfortable speech received such an applause by the audience. The audience, by the graduates, by the families, because it was a simple speech. And it was a simple speech about honor, about devotion, about country. And it was a positive speech. Unlike the bitter speech from bitter Biden, this was an uplifting speech. And the way the abruptness of the news media, such as the New York Times, to blast Butker for his speech saying, he embraced homemakers. Excuse me. What he said also was that women should be proud of being a homemaker. Okay? And this is the thing that the left wing has tried to, you know, take credit for. You know, they try to abuse women, and yet they want women to believe that they shouldn't embrace being a mother, that they shouldn't embrace being a wife, a spouse, okay? And you know what? There's a lot of positive things that come out of a woman being, you know, a mother. By making the moment through all the adversity thrown your way from COVID, I hope you learn the important lessons that suffering in this life is only temporary. And I'm sure that alone, oh my God, can you imagine saying something with a religious tone to it at a religious college for a commencement? As a group, you witness firsthand how bad leaders who don't stay in their lane can have a negative impact on society. It is through this lens that I want to take stock of how we got where we are and where we want to go as citizens, yes, Catholics. One last thing before I begin. I want to be sure you thank President Minnis and the board for the invitation to speak. You know, I really, that comment, the comment that he said at the outset is really important. It is through this lens that I want to take stock of how we got to where we are and where we want to go as citizens. And the backlash that he's receiving from the left wing, and it's by the left wing only, because the students embraced it. The families embraced the speech. And, you know, aside from us here at Global Patriot Radio telling you, you know, about, you know, where, how Marxism has infiltrated America, Harrison Butker actually nailed it. And, you know, I'm sure he's going to get tremendous backlash from the NFL, and there'll be people that'll be gunning for him. You know, you thought that the New Orleans Saints targeting, you know, was something that was unbelievable. Wait till you see how they probably target, you know, Harrison Butker. But he spoke the truth. And you know, there are those that are going to take exception to it, like the chief executive officer of Equity and Diversion, of Equity and DEI, for DEI for the NFL. You know, he gave some lame, you know, statement. You know, they had to give some sort of statement because of their wokeness. And to appease their sponsors, but they have to be absolutely livid over this because it was the truth. It was the truth. Our own nation is led by a man who publicly and proudly proclaims his Catholic faith, but at the same time is delusional enough to make the sign of the cross during a pro-abortion rally. He's been so vocal in the support for murder of innocent babies that I'm sure to many people it appears that you could be both Catholic and pro-choice. He's not alone. From the man behind the COVID lockdowns to the people pushing dangerous gender ideologies onto the youth of America, they all have a glaring thing in common. They are Catholic. This is an important reminder that being a Catholic alone doesn't cut it. And yes, Joe Biden, it doesn't cut it. He uses his religion as a means of, as a beard to say that, oh, well, I'm Catholic. No, you're not Catholic, Joe. You know, you know what? In your younger days, even then, you weren't Catholic when you had your mind. But now you just read from a script and you want to say that you're Catholic and you believe in these anti-Catholic social agendas. I thought that was – he never named a name, though, did he? He didn't say it was Joe Biden. We're led by a man who publicly and proudly proclaims his Catholic faith. These are the sort of things that we're told in polite society to not bring up. And you know what? That's the conditioning part of it. The left wing doesn't want you to bring this up. You know what? It's okay if the left wing shuns you. It's okay if they take this out of society, like they've taken God out of society, like they've taken family values out of society. They've ridiculed Christians around the United States for our belief system. And it's okay. It's okay because that's become the norm, as reported by the New York Times, as reported by the DNC Alphabet News. And we're supposed to accept that. And I thought Harrison Buckner's speech was absolutely brilliant, because we don't have to accept this any longer. We shouldn't accept that. And if you have a belief system, we shouldn't accept that. We are not accepting the lawfare that's being imposed on President Trump, because we know that the Washington, D.C. syndicate, the establishment, the Uniparty, is trying to silence we the people. And we saw that happen in 1776, and they rejected King George of England as a result of that. And now we've come full circle. We've come full circle in 246 years. And it's about time that somebody says this on a public stage, and I have to give an amount of respect to Harrison Butker for what he stated. Because he's absolutely right. There is nothing wrong with what he said. And today, women are being vilified if they become a mother. You can't say they're a mother or raise a family. Oh, my God, you're a homemaker? What? Wait a minute. Hold on a second. In the 1970s, it was okay to call women homemakers. If a woman wanted to, if a woman and if a family decided to stay home, have the wife stay home and raise the child, as many of us were a product of that in our upbringing, what is so bad about that? Our mothers had a very important role in our life when they raised us. Stay-at-home moms, somebody was there all the time, and we knew that our fathers were the disciplinarians. And Butker, he addressed that issue too. Males, you need to be part of that family. Why? Because there was a certain amount of respect and civility that was brought onto society, our children. And today that civility is gone. Why? The Democrat Party, the left wing, has embraced what? They've embraced killing the family unit. The nuclear family is the enemy of the left wing in America. It's the enemy of the Democrat Party. It's the enemy of the Marxists. And they are enjoying that division. And suddenly, this guy, this kicker, this athlete comes out, and he says something that resonates with the American people. How is it that the breakdown of the nuclear family has caused it an increase in crime when other countries don't have that? I heard a teacher speaking the other day who said that he had, out of his class of 30, he had 7 Asians in the class in middle school. And I didn't comment. I didn't say anything. And he said to this other individual, you know what I really found interesting was the Asian parents, the mothers and fathers came in at parent-teacher, and they thought the teachers were rock stars. And they made sure that their son or daughter respected the teacher. And that respect resonated in the classroom. And those kids turned out to be A students. But the parents thought the teachers were the rock stars. Why? Because the parents of Asian students are disciplinarians, and they expected a certain amount of respect. And that respect is not given today. It's a fucking zoo in schools today. But that's all by design because it's in government schools. The Democrats have thrown a shit ton of money. The Republicans have thrown a shit ton of money into schools, into the education system. And all it's done is help fail our school system. You've seen the videos. There is no way, shape, or form in our day that we could ever get away with speaking to a teacher, an adult, in the manner in which is being done today. My father smacked me 3 times, and one of them was talking back to a teacher. Of course, I was a smartass to him as well, and I deserved it. And today, there is no disciplinarian, but you learned respect from your parents. And that's all this guy was talking about. Harrison Butker was always talking about respect. And you know what? It's okay for men to be men. And we live in a society where men are being emasculated by design by the social Marxists. In America. So it's okay for a woman to be to opt to be a homemaker. And guess what? If you're a mother and you bore a child, 2 children, 3 children, that's a success. You could be a success. I'm sorry you gave up your dream of being on Wall Street, but maybe you made that decision to have children and to be a wife. And you to be a husband. There's nothing wrong with that. But today, under the Alphabet DNC media, they've made it into something that's wrong. And it's not wrong. But make no mistake, Butler says, before we even attempt to fix any of the issues plaguing society, we must first get our own house in order. And it starts with our leaders. The bishops, priests appointed by God as our spiritual fathers must be rightly ordered. There is not enough time today for me to list all the stories of priests and bishops misleading their flock. But none of us can blame ignorance anymore and just blindly proclaim that that's what Father said. Because sadly, many priests we are looking to for leadership are the same ones who prioritize their hobbies or even photos with their dogs matching their outfits for the parish directory. My goodness. I mean, he went full bore. Al, I thought this was an absolute brilliant speech. I loved it. And next week, I like to play the entire 20-minute speech. It's Memorial Day weekend. You know, I would love to play that entire speech, unedited, and listen to it. I've listened to that speech 3 times now, and I'll tell you what, I was moved by it. Just listening to it, it is nothing. It is nothing. And it rings a bell. It is nothing like that's being portrayed in the New York Crimes. Nothing.
Well, even the NFL distanced itself from the Chiefs kicker Harrison Butker's comments during the commencement speech. The NFL said, quote, is steadfast in our commitment to inclusion, which only makes our league stronger. No, it makes the NFL weaker. It makes society weaker. So hats off to Harrison Butker. And whatever happened to freedom of speech? They're trying to shut him down. They want to kick him out of the NFL.
Well, because he disagrees with their point of view. And so the left is intolerant of speech that they oppose. And suddenly, and that's why all these measures of hate speech bills are trying to be passed in the United States to do an end around against the First Amendment. You know, if they can label somebody with hate speech, they can control that speech. And that's what they're looking for with people like Harrison Butker. You know, they want to control that speech. But what he said, you know, he was absolutely right. You know, you can't turn a blind eye to the priests who abused, you know, boys and children. You can't turn a blind eye to it. Now we need priests to step up and say, that was totally unacceptable, and it's not going to happen under my watch. And to be part of the parish, you know, to be part of the parish and to lead the parish like priests had done in the past. Because we look to our priest, our pastor, for advice and guidance. And sometimes we have to turn to our priest for that guidance. And it's that biblical, philosophical guidance that oftentimes resonates. I mean, you know, and so what Harrison Butker said was absolutely brilliant, in my opinion. So he talked about Catholicism. Imagine about talking about Catholicism at a Catholic college. Oh, my Lord. Oh, holy crap. Can you imagine being at a parochial school and having a commencement speech that's based on parochialism? I can't believe it. What is wrong with them? I mean, oh, my gosh. Someone who believes in the doctrine of religion. Holy shit. That is just unbelievable. And the left wing loses their mind.
He's the voice of the silent majority. Even if you don't agree with everything he said, he is the voice of the silent majority, and that just gives fuel for the silent majority to speak up and speak loudly. So hopefully this is a trend that will continue. In fact, you even had Eddie Vedder, rock star Eddie Vedder, was going against, was making comments, which is a shame because Eddie Vedder is a rock and roll talent. His talent is extraordinary, but he's a left winger, and he went out of his lane and started attacking Butker, and he should have just kept his mouth shut and make music and shut the hell up. But he chose not to, which is his right. This is America, mm-hmm. I think it's great, and he looks like a moron.
Well, he does. And, you know, for the DNC Alphabet News to try to make this into a rebuke of his speech, you know, after Butker said, God has given me, but it cannot be overstated that all of my success is made possible because a girl I met in band class back in middle school would convert to the faith, become my wife, and embrace one of the most important titles of all, homemaker. 18 seconds of applause. 18 seconds. Now, that didn't sound like a rebuke of his remarks. So,
no, and instead of what we have crowd erupts in boos and jeers as a male runner takes first place at a women's track meet. This is the future that Butner was railing against, and rightfully so, is that when a male athlete liar pretends that he's a woman to beat women in track and field or any other sporting event, this man's a liar and a piece of human debris.
That's right.
And people are having enough.
They are, and as they should. As they should. Well, listen, we can't get enough of Hank Jones and Poly Sports on Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Check out Hank and his posse. He'll be talking sports, and he'll be talking politics. I believe Thursday, check out, I believe Christie's having a show along with Usama. They've now added Thursdays to their show schedule, including Saturdays. Saturdays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, revealing the truth about Islam. It's Minister Simon Dactic, the beautiful Christie. And Monday, Al and I will be back. Next Monday is Memorial Day. Let's hope that BTR will work. We're not sure. It is a holiday, and it is a Monday. Other shows on Blog Talk Radio include Annie Southern Sense Talk Radio and her great sidekick, author Curtis Bennett, 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Friday afternoons. That's 1 to 4 Eastern Time. If you want a break from politics, you want an apolitical show, check out the Simone Nicole Show on Spreaker.com. That's Spreaker.com, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Great show, great self-help show. Check out Joshua. Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, a great patriot, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Go to AudreyRusso.com. Her and her sidekick, Mr. P. Mr. P's got some great rants. But check out Audrey Russo every Thursday evening, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Joe Gibson, Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Restoring Our Republic. I want to thank Bigfoot, our big patriot. Go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. It's a great blog spot. Please add that to your daily reading. Boyd, nice to see you, Boyd, the Alaskan, nice cold country holder. Thank you for the call. And Sue from New Mexico, good evening, Sue. How are you? We also want to send out our prayers to Sue and Big, and you all out there who are recovering from battling your personal issues. So, you know, our prayers are extended to you all. Al, any parting shots?
Adios, and Israel, take out Rafa. Let's get this thing over with.
Oh, it's beautiful. Did you see that the ICC issued now arrest warrants for Netanyahu and Hamas leaders now?
F them.
War crimes. You know, where has the ICC been for the last 30 years when Hamas was attacking Israel? Where? You know, they blow up buses and the ICC is silent. They blow up stores. They blew up the Hilton Hotel where Jews were celebrating Cedar. How many were killed? 22? 33? And where's the ICC for criminal charges against Hamas? To the ICC. Folks, thank you all for joining us. Frank is going to take us out. You guys be safe out there. Have a great week. Thank you for joining us. God bless the United States of America. Take it, Frankie.
I took the blow. Yes,
Hey, sorry we didn't get to the Buckner song, what do you call it, speech there. I would have loved to play it tonight, but we'll get to
it next
week. It'll
still be good next week.
Yeah, yep, it will.
It'll be good. Timeless. Timeless.
Oh, God. If you get a chance, listen to it. It's and by the way, if you want to log in, you can. I think you can listen to it. I'll send you the link.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's all over the internet. I'll find it.
All right.
No worries.
All right. I got to go. I'm sorry. I'll call you. I'll let you know what's going on. All right.
I'll talk at you later.
All right, Al. Take it easy. Bye, Sue. Have a good one. Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.